Hi everyone, Ben here with the Ranked Podcast. Today I have a very special guest. Shayan Ahmed here is a very special SEO master who built up a site from zero to almost $8,000 per month with Amazon Associates affiliate in just 11 months. Shayan, handing it over to you, if you could just briefly introduce yourself, what you did, how you accomplished it, and the motivation behind everything, that would be awesome.
All right. Thank you so much for having me, Ben, today. Really excited for the podcast. A little bit about me. I have an engineering background. I graduated as a mechanical engineer back in 2015. And ever since, I've been experimenting with different kind of internet businesses. So the idea of making money while you're sleeping, that actually intrigued me because I'm a very lazy person. So I believe in scaling things. I believe in making sure that I'm getting my time's worth, right? So that's why the idea of affiliate attracted me. So I built a lot of sites, and this was around like eighth or ninth site of mine that I did that reached $7,786 in 11 months. And the main motivation was the same, make money while you're sleeping. And currently, long story short, what I'm doing is I have a multi-million dollar portfolio of over a dozen online businesses like this. And I'm just in the phase of growing them over and over again. So all the proceeds, whatever I make, they are reinvested into that portfolio and expanding it even further. We are at a 7 figures valuation right now, but we are aiming to hit at least 8 figures valuation in around 2 to 3 years from now.
Amazing. Amazing. That's a lot to take in. So let's just maybe take a step back. Do you maybe remember how you kind of discovered affiliate SEO or SEO in general?
All right, so this is interesting. Before this affiliate or SEO in general, I had a content business that was bringing in about $20,000 a month, right? But I had stopped it because I was fundamentally exchanging my number of hours for the money that I was making, even though I was managing a team, right? So there was this guy, I think his name was George Brown. And there was this program called, Google Sniper. I think you might have heard of it. So in that program, he used to pick just one product out of ClickBank. He used to make one site totally dedicated to that program. And that site used to get only 500 maximum 1,000 visitors on a monthly basis, right? And you used to make around $300, $400 out of it. Mm-hmm. And his fundamental philosophy was that you're going to have like 20, 30 different sites doing this for you on an automated basis, right? So I got started with that. I picked out the product on ClickBank. I made a site around that. It was unusual floor lamps and it promoted a woodworking product, right? So I was making around $250, $300 out of it, but it wasn't really impressive, right? So after that, I learned about Amazon Affiliate and I thought that people were doing actually wonderful in this area because they were able to create huge brands out of it, right? So that's when I got really serious about SEO that, okay, if I take this seriously, I could make at least five figures out of just one site alone. So that's when I got serious. I started checking resources on the internet, various resources, and that's how it started.
Amazing. Amazing. And how long ago was that, the first site with the ClickBank product?
It was in 2016. The site started making money in 2017. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So first off, the content writing agency, did you already know about SEO or did you kind of start discovering SEO through a lot of orders coming in for content?
All right. So for the content writing agency, I was basically focusing on ebooks. So for example, Amazon Kindle or some people put different kinds of ebooks on their site so that people just give their email addresses, right? So I was primarily focusing on those kinds of ebooks and we were producing those ebooks in bulk.
Mm-hmm. And just a question, quick question about ebooks. With your current sites, do you also use any kind of opt-ins? Like let's say, okay, here's an ebook. Give us your email and we'll send the ebook.
Actually, we are transitioning to that phase because I see that we are heavily relying on Amazon affiliate, other affiliate programs, and display advertising to monetize our sites. But having the email list is the ultimate wealth that you could have, right?
Yes.
So we are gradually transitioning to that, but right now we are not doing that.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, so let's go to the star of the show, the $8,000 a month almost site. How did you, the most important question and the question kind of everyone seems to a bit scared to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How did you find the niche? And if you could give us an idea of in what Amazon percentage it was.
All right, sure. So I am going to take some time to answer this question because I think this is a really important question. Okay, so when you usually search on the internet for which niche you're supposed to follow, which niche you should follow, a common answer is that go for the passion, right? But I think this is just an emotional answer. Personally, for me, I don't think if it applies to everyone or not. Personally, for me, it's more of a business question. If the numbers and data and the research make sense, I go for that niche regardless of whether or not I'm interested in it, right? So my niche research process, it's very research intensive and you could say very data driven, all right? So for example, in essence, in an overview, we look for different 15 to 16 criteria points just to validate if the niche is going to be profitable or not, all right? So for example, one of the criteria points is whether there are enough small sites in this niche that are making money. All right. And we have this complete process to validate that. And then in the next stage, we validate whether there are enough big sites that that are making money in this particular niche. Right. And then we have a complete process to validate that. Then we are looking for the number of keywords that we could extract out, the money making keywords. Mm-hmm. The informational keywords in order to build backlinks for skyscrapers. So there is a complete process or complete understanding of the whole area or niche that we go after. And after we are sure that, okay, this is going to be our condition in 2 to 3 years from now, if we go after this, only after that we go after a particular niche. So mm-hmm. there are around 15 to 16 criteria points. I wouldn't explain all of these here because the podcast would be very stretched, but this is what we essentially do. But before evaluating different niches, we come up with around 10 to 15 different niche ideas mm-hmm. before we start evaluating each one of them. Yeah.
And if you could give maybe two or three of these criterias that you'd believe would massively help out someone who's just in the process of picking out their mm-hmm. niche, what would they be maybe?
All right. So I think the best criteria if someone was just starting out is just to validate if there are enough small sites who are actually making money through these review type articles.
Mm-hmm. All right. And by small sites, do you mean Ahrefs rank, number of traffic they're getting? What exactly would you consider like a small versus a big site?
All right. So a small site is usually something DR less than 30. So mm-hmm. DR is domain rating, Ahrefs rank. Mm-hmm. So DR less than 30, it's usually a small site. Plus you manually analyze the site as well. And you can get the feel that these guys are not really big brands right now. And maybe you can look at the skyscraper content, look at the top pages they're ranking for, look at the traffic they're getting. So it gives you an idea that, okay, these guys are maybe doing 3,000, 4,000, maybe 2,000, $6,000 a month. And that is an indication that it could be done, all right? And one of the biggest or easiest way that most people don't follow is just to see what they're doing. How many articles do they have? How many backlinks they have? Mm-hmm. What kind of backlinks that they have? What sort of content structure are they following? And maybe just reverse engineer that. So it gives you an idea or ultimate goal that, okay, this is the X number of articles I need to put on there. This is the X number of backlinks I need to have in order to get where this guy is. And that's it.
Okay, yeah. So now we have the clear metrics and that we can use and criteria. But if we go a step back, someone that has no idea, because the metrics come second, yeah? In my opinion, how I personally find very good niches is just through the use of Keywords Explorer. What you can do in Ahrefs or other softwares, you can actually input like the empty tab in the Keyword Explorer, and that will give you a list of different keywords, and then you can change the keyword difficulty, the traffic, the volume, and everything like that. And then you can start getting just random keywords that are maybe low difficulty but have high traffic, and from there, maybe you can start evaluating the criteria that you mentioned. Do you do something like that, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And this is actually a good way to look at things too. But what that is, so essentially just focus on, so let me just tell you what we actually do. In our initial stage, our goal is to monetize the site through Amazon Affiliate and get traffic through search engines. That's pretty much it. That is as far as it goes. No Pinterest, nothing like that, because we don't want to waste our resources on that, right? So your approach is fine, but it's too broad because the keywords might not have the products that are essentially present on Amazon, okay? So a more pragmatic approach would be just to go on Amazon, look for categories, and then drill down to super sub-niche categories or super focused categories and take a treasure of keywords from there, try to put that in Keywords Explorer or Keyword Difficulty Metric Checker or something like that. So what that does is that you're very clear, okay, if this works out, I am going to have products to promote directly, and you have a much smaller data of keywords to select from or filter from.
Yeah, that's a great approach. Okay, so back to the main site. Okay, now that we know what kind of approach you used, it was, what niche was it in? Just like a broad, maybe Amazon percentage?
So are you asking about the niche or like affiliate commission rate?
Both.
All right, so it was home and garden, okay? And it was home and garden, and the commission rates are obviously high. Anyone who does Amazon knows that, and that was the basic reason. Plus, I knew that there were small sites working in this area, but that wasn't really the goal. So even if there were enough DR 40 to 50 plus sites, I was like, okay, I'm not going to be a small guy anyway. So let's get started with it.
Awesome. Okay, so what were the next steps that you took? Did you, after analyzing the competitors, of course, I'm guessing you went on to create like a content plan?
Yeah, so this is, I'm really glad that you brought this up. Most people don't do this and they burn the resources up. So the most important thing in this affiliate business is creating a site structure, site plan, content plan. Okay, let's call it this content, or let's call it the plan, just plan. Okay, so the plan consists of all the keywords that are going to make you money, properly categorized into various categories. All right, first. Second, this plan is also going to consist of article topics that you need to have in order to build backlinks through skyscraper approach. Plus, this plan also consists of the entire site structure you're going to follow and how this content, how the different pages are going to show up when actually in the form of a site. So with all my sites, so I have currently 14 right now. I spend around a month just perfecting this one area since I have an engineering background, I look at numbers a lot, how to maximize the return on investment, how to achieve the best with the least amount of resources. So that puts me in a very strong position that how can I reduce the amount of resources or money I put into something and maximize the return that I'm going to get in 3 years' time. So the site plan, it's super, super important. Yes.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. And just one more question. In your case study, you outlined very nicely how you usually kind of divide different content sections. So for example, you would have three different sections from what I remember, and you would have, for example, content about just for money pages. Then you would have content for informative pages, and then maybe those two are the same, but you'd also have content for just link baits to use then with your skyscraper shotgun outreach technique. to acquire links to their site at a very good rate.
Yeah, of course. There has to be a distribution. I mean, if everything was in our control, I would just put money articles. Why should I put info articles? But the main reason you put info articles is to be in good books of Google. That, okay, this guy is not doing it for the review articles or for the money alone. That's why you need to keep a proper balance. Plus, when you have skyscraper articles, the sole purpose of that is to maybe just get backlinks. And money articles are definitely for the money. So for this site in specific, the site that we did, it was around a 70-30 split between money and info. 70% was money and 30% were info articles, right?
Awesome, yeah.
And I think skyscraper articles were around maybe 10 to 15. Mm-hmm. 10 to 15 articles, plus we did other campaigns as well, like Halo campaign and other stuff like that. So that also brought us backlinks. So it was a combination of doing everything all at once.
Mm-hmm. And for skyscrapers, or actually link bait, I like to call them, to get the links, do you just focus on providing like content that is written better than anything out there, or do you also use different things like some people create resources like calculators, infographics, videos, mm-hmm. even that attract even more links?
All right. So I do look for scalability a lot. So if I am building a calculator, so I know that more resources are going to get into that kind of stuff. Okay. If I'm creating a video, more resources are going to get into that. I already have a very strong team of content writers, so it's much easier for me to scale that as compared to getting distracted with all the other things. So far I haven't done that. For example, video content or building calculators or stuff like that. But that stuff of course works. But for me, the position that I come from, I would rather have 15 articles written, and because that's much easier for me to scale.
And then do you also, so now we have the content covered, now we have the links covered, more kind of the essential of everything. But there's a third part that in my opinion is, especially looking at well-known like authorities in the affiliate SEO space, like Income School and others, there's this third part, and it's on-page SEO, technical SEO.
Yeah.
This is where I really start to get passionate about SEO. Just interlinking, creating like a silo structure, making sure the site is fast, it performs well, user experience. How do you view that? Do you have ongoing audits, or do you just do it once and ensure that everything is set up properly while you're building it? Just wanted mm-hmm. to hear your approach on this.
All right. So when we are building a particular site, right, we try to get up as much content as we can as soon as possible. All right. And then we just keep updating it over the months, over the upcoming months. As far as on-site SEO, we have a proper SOPs structure, standard operating procedures, which the VAs know about. And we are very detailed. Detailed oriented when it comes to on-site SEO, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like having a cow but not milking it properly if you're not doing the on-site SEO in a good way, right?
So exactly.
It goes without saying that you have to be very, very careful with on-site SEO. Yes, we make sure that everything is perfect and we keep updating it along the way, but so this is what we do. We do things that we think are perfect when we are just updating the content, right? After 3 months of performance, we see how Google is reacting to it, all right? We might be missing out on an opportunity, okay? Or if we use a certain optimization focused on a particular keyword, we could rank that as well, right? So then we test it based on how Google has perceived it after 3 months. And then we make adjustments. Mm-hmm. According to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so that's great. Sorry for interrupting you. I just wanted to remember something. Like a lot of people, and I used to be like this in the past, I would just publish something and I didn't really pay attention to the like on page. I would say, okay, I'll just deal with the old tags later. I'll deal with the site structure later. But because in my mind, I just needed to get the content up as fast as possible so that Google could index it, you know?
Yeah.
I started noticing that if I were to just make sure that all tags are well done, the headings, the entire on-page structure is well done from the beginning, not only it saves me a big headache, but I'm able to dramatically speed up the entire process. So this is a very good approach, and I would recommend it to anyone out there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think doing the on-site SEO, it pushes your graph in the positive direction, right? But after 3 months, if you reevaluate and restructure your site according to how Google has responded to that, it pumps your graph even higher. Done it. I didn't used to do it in the past, but now I regret that I didn't do it. I missed on a lot of opportunities. You can use Surfer SEO. I think it's a pretty good tool to check how your competitors are doing.
Yeah. The competitors. Yeah. That's awesome. And another thing that I need to take time and get more into is conversion rate optimization. Recently, I also been doing a lot of click-through rate testing. For example, if you take a keyword, like your main keyword, and you position it all the way to the left of the search results, so it's like the closest to the beginning, you will see a boost even if you just like change the meta title, update it, refetch within a Search Console, and you will see like a boost as soon as it reindexes it.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I haven't personally tested, but I know a lot of guys who are doing this and it just works. What I personally do is that I have a super focused start of the article, which hits the pain point related to the keyword. And then I just do a quick summary section. And the quick summary section is the best, the runner-up, and also great, with image, quick description, and check price on Amazon. or just a link to Amazon, right? This has increased the CTR to over 50% at least. And so over 50% is, I say it because so that beginners can aim at it, but sometimes you have over 200% CTR as well. The reason is 1% clicks multiple times, and considering the bounce rate, it's still a pretty good number. So we do CTR as well. So this is one of the techniques, plus creating table is also good. And another thing, you can install this plugin called Table of Contents. What that does is it places a table of content at the top and it creates jump links throughout the article, right?
Yeah, so when, and it will so provide example, you with site searching, links in the...
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So the user doesn't have to search for all the 5,000 word article. He can just click at that position, come right there. And I think that is a wonderful thing. I didn't used to do that in the past. I mean, I used to have my VM manually do that. That was a stupid thing to do. I could have just gone for the plugin. But this is one of the most amazing things you could do.
Yeah. Overall, in my opinion, just ensuring that your SERPs, that your website is taking as much space in the Google results as possible is just one of the best things to do. Another very good trick to optimize the click-through rates. So coming back to the example, I forgot to ask how many words of content, how many pieces of articles did you publish in those 11 months?
All right, so we were having around, so let me just calculate. So we had around 250,000 people coming to the site that were making around $8,000. And we had around 600-700 articles. Around 600 articles, yes. During
600
that.
Articles. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And what month did you notice maybe like the most drastic improvement in the results, and why would you say it happened? Was it the links or the inner linking?
All right, so it takes some time to maybe get out of the sandbox, and that's a very big hindrance for SEOs to grow. So after six after 7th month, we started to see that the site is doing something. And after that, things kind of blew off. I mean, the graph was like this. This
hockey stick, as they call it.
Yeah. Do they call it hockey stick?
Everyone seems to call it hockey stick nowadays.
I didn't know that. But thanks for telling me. I'll call it the hockey stick now.
Cool. Okay. So around seventh month. And by that time, how many articles did you have published, would you say?
We had all the articles published, like around all 600. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we were just optimizing them and working on making sure everything is perfect. We do focus a lot on internal linking, by the way.
Exactly.
So the link juice passes perfectly using the exact anchor text of the targeted keywords. So from the external links, we make sure that we are not over optimizing things and we keep a mix of things. But when it comes for internal linking within the sites, we are just very intense with using the exact anchor text. So internal linking and perfecting things up, updating the content, building links. So we went really intense on building links as well.
And yeah. The links, did you also start with them before month 7 or after?
So as soon as we had all the content published, which was around in the end of 4th month, I think the end of 3rd month it was, we mm-hmm. had all the content published, okay? And then we were intense on link building after that. So maybe a few articles were left, around 30% of the articles were left, which is around 180 articles were left, okay, out of 600. So we started building links to the money articles after the end of 3rd month, okay? Mm-hmm. And in just the next 3-month period, we built all the links.
Mm-hmm. And for the money pages, I'm guessing the Shotgun Skyscraper doesn't work as well. Did you use some kind of a different approach?
All right. So our main approach was to get links to Skyscraper content, right? But then people usually ask for money, okay? And this gives us leverage that, okay, if you're asking for money, why not put a link to this article?
Exactly.
So we don't want to pay for money, but we don't want to pay money to get backlinks and maybe get them on Skyscraper and then point those to the money article. That's what we want. But I think it's a much better thing that if someone asks for money and we just pay that to them, because that directly just points the link to the money article and just ranks
exactly.
it. So,
exactly.
So that happened a lot.
In total, do you remember like an approximate number of links that you built throughout the whole site, and then like a percentage, how many to money pages, how many to the info content?
I think we had around 700 backlinks in a 3-4 month period. No, 700 backlinks. In 3 months, it was we had the major links, okay? But after that, we continued that. So it was total around, before the 11th month period, we had around 750 backlinks pointing to our site, right? 70% were to the money articles and 30% were to the Skyscraper content.
To the info content. Awesome. Yeah. And what was your experience exiting from the site, selling it in month 11? What did you use? What was your experience like? How long did it take?
Oh, so we haven't sold the site yet. We just kept it, right? And it's still growing.
Okay. Uh-huh. So it's just a value that at the amount.
Exactly.
At the moment, do you maybe know what kind of revenue it's doing?
It's doing in the 20,000 range per month.
Uh-huh. And how many months are we? Is it like the site in now?
It's been around. So when I posted the case study, it was around. So 20. I think it's going to be 3 years now. Around
3 years.
2.5, 3 years. Yeah, 3 years.
3 years. Amazing.
Yeah.
Cool. And last question, to be respectful of your time. If you could give maybe one or two tips to someone who recently stumbled upon the amazing affiliate SEO, what would you suggest to them? Maybe to try or to avoid, something that will help them.
All right. So I think a much more realistic option for anyone out there who doesn't know about affiliate SEO is that it's the best form of investment that you could do these days. So in my company, what we are actually doing is that we are building a multi-million dollar portfolio of online assets. And on the internet, the way things work is that the real money is in the audiences that you build, right? And you can monetize those in amazing ways. One of those ways is affiliate. Considering the form of investment that if you have a particular investment and if you want to do it on real estate, on VC or something else, then the return rate is less, the appreciation is low, the passive income is less. But this is one of the best ways for the best return on your money. Right. But if someone is not looking at it from an investor's perspective, I think you should get into the internet economy or digital economy first, freelance, whether it's content writing, whether it's some other areas, just to build up this cash flow and understand how things work on the internet. And use this affiliate sites as a side hustle because they take an incredibly long amount of time just to bring you your first dollar. Okay. I see a lot of people, they don't have any experience with the internet stuff and they get started and they give up after 3 months. So you have to be realistic in a sense that these projects take time, but once they start to bring you money, that is the best feeling out of all the money making exactly. feelings in the world, because you're just asleep and then you wake up and then Amazon refreshes and then you look, okay, this is great. And yesterday what I did was I just watched Netflix and didn't do anything else. Also, one important thing is that you're just one exit away from building your portfolio of sites like this. If you do a six figures exit, that is $100,000. You can just reinvest it into building a portfolio of these sites again. So just focus on having that one exit and your life will change after that.
Awesome. Yeah, patience over everything at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Thanks so much again for your time. If people want to reach you, what's the best way to get in touch with you, ask you questions, learn more about you?
I think Twitter would be the right medium for it. I have this handle, so I can just type it down to you in the chat as well. 1993. Yes,
awesome.
Twitter is the way, and this is my email address as well, so they can reach out to me.
Awesome. For anyone listening to this or watching it on YouTube, it will be in the description down below, so you can just drop Sean a message, and he'll be happy to hopefully answer any questions.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks so much again. Thanks for listening. See you all in the next one.